We are in Luke chapter 8, and we're going to study verses 16 through 21, and principally, we're going to study those earlier verses, the ones on the candle lighted, 16 through 18. Let's read the passage together, and then we will go to study in what we're studying today. Luke chapter 8, verse 16, "No man, when he hath lighted a candle, covereth it with a vessel, or putteth it under a bed, but setteth it on a candlestick, that they which enter in may see the light. For nothing is secret that shall not be made manifest, neither anything hid that shall not be known and come abroad. Take heed therefore how ye hear. For whosoever hath, to him shall be given, and whosoever hath not, from him shall be taken even that which he seemeth to have." Now, after we get through that passage right there, we'll take a look then briefly at verses 19 through 21, which say, "Then came to him his mother and his brethren, and could not come at him for the press. And it was told him by certain which said, Thy mother and thy brethren stand without desiring to see thee. And he answered and said unto them, My mother and my brethren are these which hear the word of God and do it." Now, in the first three verses of this, Jesus Christ used an illustration of a man lighting a candle and then putting the candle on a candlestick. This is not the only place he uses this illustration. He uses it in three other places, and when he does, each time what he is illustrating is just a little bit different. And so we're going to look at these, mainly three of these today. This one principally, because it's the one we're studying, and then the other two, so that when you read them, you'll understand that they're a little bit different than the one we're looking at here. In the passage we're studying this morning, Luke chapter 8, verses 16 to 18, the illustration is to this: take heed what you hear. Take heed what you hear. That's the purpose of the illustration of the candle and the candlestick in this passage. Let's look at it. Verse 16. "No man, when he hath lighted a candle, covereth it with a vessel, or putteth it under a bed, but setteth it on a candlestick, that they which enter in may see the light." This would have been a very common occurrence back then. They didn't have electric lights. The whole purpose of lighting the candle is to provide light for people to see. Same reason that we have the lights on in here. In this case, the Lord said at the end of verse 16 that they which enter in may see the furniture. No. May see the room. No. May see the people in the room. No. May see what? The light. The light. So the light, he's not interested in what the light is illuminating, but rather in the light itself when he gives this illustration. The words that Jesus Christ has been speaking and the words that Jesus Christ spoke are light. Psalm 119, verse 130 says, "The entrance of thy words giveth light, giveth understanding unto the simple. Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path." Peter said in 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 19, "We have also a more sure word of prophecy, whereunto you do well to take heed, as unto a," help me, "light that shineth in a dark place." That book you have in your lap, those words written on the pages of your King James Bible, they are light. They are light. The world is a dark place. Those words are lighting so that you can see in this dark place. So when Jesus preached, his words were light in the dark place where Israel was. They had been without a prophet for 400 years. the words that they had been perverted by the Pharisees. They were now teaching the tradition of men, not the words of God. So Jesus Christ came and he lit a candle. His words were to give understanding to the hearers. So this illustration is about that very thing. Now, in Luke 8:17, Jesus Christ said, "For nothing is secret that shall not be made manifest, neither anything hid that shall not be known and come abroad." Jesus, in the context of this passage of Scripture, had just revealed one of the mysteries of God and the kingdom of God to his disciples. You might remember last week we studied the parable of the sower and the seed and the interpretation of that parable. Do you remember? Look at Luke chapter 8, verse 10. The disciples ask a question in verse 9, "What might this parable be?" And he said, "Unto you it is given to know the mysteries of the kingdom of God, but to others in parables, that seeing they might not see, and hearing they might not understand." What Jesus Christ had just done before he spoke the words you're reading and we're studying today in Luke chapter 8, verse 16 through 18, is he had given them a parable of the sower, expounded and interpreted that parable, and told them, "I just gave you one of the mysteries of the kingdom of God." That was a secret, but now it's made known. It had been hidden. Now it's being understood. He revealed that. You know how he does that? He does that by light. He does that by light. Let me give you another example. Keep your finger where you are and go to Colossians chapter 1. Colossians chapter 1, here's a perfect example. Paul was given several revelations by the Lord. These were new things that had not been known before. And God gave Paul instruction to reveal some of those things that he'd been given so that others, like you and I, would know what they are. In Colossians chapter 1, look at verse 26. 25 for the context, "Whereof I am made a minister according to the dispensation of God, which is given to me for you to fulfill the word of God." Verse 26, "Even the mystery which hath been hid from ages and from generations, but now is made manifest to his saints." God lit the candle, put it on a candlestick. What is the mystery that is now made manifest? Verse 27, "To whom God would make known what is the riches of the glory of this mystery among the Gentiles, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory." The Jews would have known about Christ in them because Jesus Christ, in John, when he's speaking to his disciples there in chapters 13, 14, 15, 16, 17, he tells them, "I'm going to be in you. You're going to be in me." But the Gentiles, you and I, we didn't know that. Until Paul came along, God gave him the revelation, lit the candle, and said, "I want to reveal something that's been hidden from ages and from generations." Let's look at another example. Turn to 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. This concerns the mystery of iniquity. The mystery of iniquity. We won't read the whole passage because that'll detour from our study somewhat. But in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, there is the need for the revelation of this mystery of iniquity. Look at verse 6. "And now you know what withholdeth, that he might be," what's the next word? "Revealed when? In his time. For the mystery of iniquity doth already work, only he who now letteth will let until he be taken out of the way. And then shall that wicked be revealed, whom the Lord shall consume with the spirit of his mouth and shall destroy with the brightness of his coming. So Paul here tells us of the mystery of iniquity, gives us information about it. So there are a lot of things now about this mystery that we know because of the light of the words of God, and they'll ultimately be the revelation of that wicked in his time. In fact, all mysteries will be revealed and made known in due time. As God wants them known, he just simply lights the candle, and then you know. God doesn't hide the light of his words with a vessel, as he says in Luke 8:16. And he doesn't hide it under a bed. He intends, when he lights that candle and sets it on a candlestick, he intends for us to see the light of his words when he's ready. And he just did that in Luke chapter 8. One more place, turn with me in the Old Testament to Deuteronomy, Deuteronomy 29:29. What you'll notice is that there are things that God intentionally keeps secret for a period of time, but then when he makes them known, he wants you to see them. He wants you to hear them. He wants you to understand them. Deuteronomy 29:29. I love this passage because it lets you know that God is God and you and I are not. The secret things belong unto the Lord our God. True. But those things which are revealed belong unto us and to our children forever, that we may do all the words of this law. So when the Lord lights the word of God, when he lights the candle, he intends for you to see the light that is emanating from that. He's intending for us to see the light emanating from the words of God. Paul wrote about all this, and here's what he said. Eye hath not seen, nor ear heard, neither have entered into the heart of man the things which God hath prepared for them that love him. But God hath revealed them unto us, right? By his Spirit. For the Spirit searcheth all things, yea, the deep things of God. A thought just came to mind. Back in the Old Testament, when you enter the tabernacle, on the right-hand side is the table of showbread. This book in your lap is the bread of life. On the left-hand side is the candlestick. You light those candles and it shows you the bread. The Holy Spirit has revealed the words of God to us so that the things that had not been seen and heard before are now made known to us. That's what he's doing. Luke 8. Now look at verse 18. Take heed therefore, what are the next three words? How ye hear. For whosoever hath, to him shall be given, and whosoever hath not, from him shall be taken, even that which he seemeth to have. This warning in verse 18 is extremely important. Because he said, take heed how ye hear. Everybody in this room right now has ears to hear. Some may need hearing aids, okay? But you're still able to hear what I'm saying, and I'm not speaking quickly, and I'm not rambling. I'm enunciating, speaking loudly so that I can be heard. You can hear me. And so he said, if you have ears to hear, it's more than just being able to pick up the audio. It's being able to hear and receive what you're hearing that he's talking about. If you have ears to hear, then listen, he says. because you will be given. That's what he says. For whosoever hath, to him shall be given. What do you have? If you have ears to hear. Whosoever hath ears to hear, to him shall be given. He's given you something. All these months, and for some of you, all these years, you've been sitting in these adult Sunday school classes. You have been learning and learning and learning. God has been giving you and giving you and giving you more and more of the light of his words. What I'm going to say is no accolade to us or our church, but to the truth of the words of God. We've had people who have been in churches, some of them for 20 years, and they come here and within 6 months they'll say, I have learned more in 6 months here than I have in 20 years. You know what they had? That ears to hear, and God directed them to a place where those ears could receive more of the word of God, because he said, if you've got ears to hear, to him shall be given. And God has blessed us and given us much. But then he goes on to say in verse 18, whosoever hath not, that is, hath not ears to hear, from him shall be taken even that which he seemeth to have. What is that? Well, look with me at a cross reference in Mark chapter 4. Mark chapter 4. And we'll get a little more light on what he said in verse 18, and then we'll make sure we get a full explanation. Mark chapter 4, verse 21. The Bible is the best commentator on itself. Mark chapter 4, verse 21, he said unto them, is a candle brought to be put under a bushel or under a bed? What's the answer? No. And not to be set on a candlestick? What's the answer? Yes, it is. For there is nothing hid which shall not be made or shall not be manifested, neither was anything kept secret, but that it should come abroad. If any man have ears to hear, let him hear. And he said unto them, take heed what you hear. With what measure you meet, it shall be measured to you, and unto you that hear shall more be given. For he that hath, to him shall be given, and he that hath not, from him shall be taken even that which he hath. What's going on here? Well, back there in Luke chapter 8, the Lord told those disciples in verse 10, unto you it is given to know the mysteries of the kingdom of God. If you're with me in Luke chapter 8 at verse 10, notice the rest of the crowd, to others in parables, that seeing they might not see, and hearing what? They might not understand. You got everybody there who can hear the voice. They're getting the audio. They're picking it up. But some of them are hearing in a way that what they're hearing is being given to them, and others they're hearing, but they have no understanding. They're not getting the light of his words. Be careful, he says. Take heed how you hear. One more time, let's look at a similar passage and then put it all together. Matthew chapter 13, where Jesus Christ is giving the parables of the kingdoms of heaven. Matthew chapter 13, verse 12. Because he says it again. Matthew 13, verse 12, we'll look at verse 11 for the context. He answered and said unto them, because it is given unto you to know the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven, but to them it is not given. For whosoever hath, to him shall be given, and he shall have more abundance. But whosoever hath not, from him shall be taken away, even that he hath. Therefore speak I to them in parables, because they seeing see not, and hearing they hear not, neither do they understand. And in them is fulfilled the prophecy of Isaiah, which saith, by hearing ye shall hear, and shall not understand, and seeing ye shall see, and shall not perceive, for this people's heart is waxed gross, and their ears are dull of hearing, and their eyes they have closed, and so forth. What's the problem? The problem is this. Let's use the Pharisees for an example. The Pharisees, the scribes, the lawyers, they had the law. They had the books. There's a time when Jesus Christ goes to a synagogue and he takes the book and he turns to Isaiah and he reads out of Isaiah what we now call 61, and then says, "This day is this scripture fulfilled in your ears." They had it. But they had not heard what those words said. They began to change those words and add to those words the doctrines of men, and effectively they made the word of God of none effect. So while they had them, what they had ended up being taken away from them because they did not take heed how they heard. They didn't believe the words. They didn't see what God was showing them in the words of God. They changed them to make them say what they wanted them to say. Today in Israel, they, as a nation, have absolutely no understanding that the man speaking in Luke chapter 8 is their Messiah. They are looking for someone yet to come. They don't even realize that he's already been here. What they had has been taken from them. He showed up in Israel. He spoke in Israel. These things were spoken right there and recorded right there. And they don't have this today. They look at what you're reading today in the New Testament as a manifesto on how to destroy their nation, or some crazy thing written by Gentiles to pervert what they were given in the law. And all that, you know what happened? Their light is now under a bushel. Their light is now under a bed. They can't see it. They do not understand it. I'll tell you another person right there hearing all of this that didn't get it. Judas Iscariot. Judas Iscariot. Paul tells us in Romans chapter 3 that God gave the oracles to Israel, but you wouldn't know talking to them today that they have any sense about what they have in their possession. Those prophecies in Isaiah concerning the first and then second coming of the Lord Jesus Christ are absolute darkness to them, but not to you. Why is it that you get it? Because you saw that light and see that light of that candlestick, and you are listening to what he is illuminating to you out of the words of God, and you know what? You have more now than you did then, and you've certainly got more than they have. All because you have heard and believed and received what he gave you out of the words of God. Isn't that, that's tremendous. Whoa, that's that word again. That's awesome. It's awesome. You have a book. I just want you to realize before we go to the next candle and candlestick, when you open this book and begin to read, and you're trusting God to open your eyes and open your ears, he talks to you. And if he knows you're not listening, you'll have less than what you started with when you opened the book. And if he knows you're listening and believing what he's saying, he's going to give you more than what you had when you opened it that day. Now, I was reading this morning and praying, and something that I have meditated on and thought about for years just came clear, like I had been in a dark room and the Lord had lit that candle and all of a sudden the light came on, and I was like, whoa, this is an amazing understanding of those passages of Scripture that I'd been meditating on that I didn't quite understand. Why? God gives that to you and reveals that to you when he's ready for you to know what he said, as long as you have ears to hear. Take heed how you hear. All right, in another place, the Lord says, take heed what you see. Take heed what you see. Go to Luke chapter 11. Do you understand what we've seen here, by the way? Luke chapter 11. Any of y'all watch football? You don't have to be, really, I can't believe you do that. No. So you know what an audible is. Yeah. They've got a play planned, and then the quarterback is there at the line of scrimmage. He sees something in the defense, and he calls an audible and changes the play. Right? I'm going to change the play. You're in Luke chapter 11. Don't lose your place there. Go back to Luke chapter 8. I'm calling an audible. So that we don't lose the continuity of the passage we're studying, I want you to go ahead and look at verses 19 through 21. Tie that together with what we just studied, and then we'll go look at these other two places. Luke chapter 8, verse 19, then came to him his mother and his brethren and could not come at him for the press. And it was told him by certain which said, thy mother and thy brethren stand without desiring to see thee. Do you think that his mother and his brethren were important to him? Yeah, of course they were. It took a long time for his brothers to come around, but they eventually did and became very important in the early church. Obviously, his mother, so important to him that even while he was dying on the cross, of the few things he said to John, behold, thy mother, made sure that John would be there to take care of her. Yeah, he cared for him. So he's not blowing them off with the next statement that he makes. He's emphasizing that when you do hear his words and do what you hear, that you are to him like his mother and brethren. Verse 21. Or 20, it was told him by certain which said, thy mother and thy brethren stand without desiring to see thee. And he answered and said unto them, my mother and my brethren are these which, what's the next word? Hear. The word of God. You got to do that first and then do it. So he said, take heed, just take heed what you hear, but I want you to understand, if you hear and do it, you are to me like my own mother and my own brethren. That's important. Okay. Now we go to Luke chapter 11. I thought that might give us a little more continuity to that passage of Scripture before we depart from there. Luke chapter 11, look at verse 33. No man, when he hath lighted a candle, putteth it in a secret place, neither under a bushel, but on a candlestick, that they which come in may see the light. And then he goes on to explain that the light of the body is the eye, verse 34. Therefore, when thine eye is single, thy whole body also is, what? Full of light. But when thine eye is evil, thy body also is full of darkness. Take heed, therefore, that the light which is in thee be not darkness. If thy whole body, therefore, be full of light, having no part dark, the whole shall be full of light, as when the bright shining of a candle doth give thee light. So in this passage of Scripture now, it's not that we should take heed to what we hear, but in this passage of Scripture, we are to take heed to what we see and how we see. The light in this passage illustrates the whole body, your whole body full of light, through what medium? Through what medium? The light of that candle and a single eye. And a single eye. The single eye is contrasted to the evil eye in verse 34. And the easiest way that I can describe it and understand it is this. The single eye sees what God wants you to see and sees it the way God wants you to see it. That's what a single eye is. So I want you to remember that because you're going to need to be reminded when your eye strays about what a single eye is. What is a single eye? A single eye sees what God wants you to see, and the single eye sees it the way God wants you to see it. I've mentioned this before, but I want to stress it again because repetition is a good teacher. God wants you to see certain things. That's why he gave you an eye that can see. But he wants you to see it the way he wants you to see it, not the way the world wants you to see it. What happens as your body becomes more and more full of light and you're seeing what God wants you to see the way God wants you to see it, the more you're going to realize how dark this world really is. People in our world don't realize that there's any darkness here until they see telescope shots from outer space and they see darkness. When you have a single eye, you see darkness down here. And it's a very dark place and a very wicked place. Turn to John chapter 1, verse 4. John chapter 1, verse 4. Hopefully this will give you even a greater appreciation for what you read in John chapter 1. John chapter 1, verse 4. In him, speaking of Jesus Christ, was life, and the life was what? The light of men. And the light shineth in darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. The same came for a witness to bear witness of the light, that all men through him might believe. He was not that light, but was sent to bear witness of that light. How many people did God want to believe the preaching of John? He said all men, but all men didn't. Verse 9, that was the true light, which lighteth how many men? Every man that cometh into the world. So every man that cometh into the world is lighted by the true light, but not all see that light. Take heed what you see. Take heed what you see. The true light lighteth every man that cometh into the world. People say, well, don't worry about what people say. You concern yourself with what the Bible says. The heavens declare the glory of God. The firmament showeth his handiwork, right? The invisible things of him are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead. Don't you worry about God getting light to them. What you want to do is you want to see what he wants you to see, and you want to see it the way he wants you to see it. Take heed what you see. Okay? Take heed what you hear, take heed what you see, and then he uses this candle to illustrate one more thing, and that is that you and I should take heed what we say. Take heed what we say. Luke chapter 12. Luke chapter 12, verses 1 through 3. In the meantime, when there were gathered together an innumerable multitude of people, insomuch that they trode one upon another, he began to say unto his disciples, first of all, beware. Beware ye of the leaven of the Pharisees, which is hypocrisy. For there is nothing covered that shall not be revealed, neither hid that shall not be known. Therefore, whatsoever you have spoken in darkness shall be heard in the light, and that which you have spoken in the ear in closets shall be proclaimed upon the housetops. I just started this passage by saying, beware of the leaven of the Pharisees, which is hypocrisy. And then he says, there's nothing covered that should not be revealed. Take heed what you say. The Pharisees were hypocrites, right? What does that mean in the context of what we're reading here? It simply means that they were not in public what they were in private. They pretended to be one thing on the outside, and they were totally different on the inside. And the Lord said, pretending, telling his disciples, beware of this. Pretending to be what you're not on the outside is not going to hide what you really are, because there's nothing covered that shall not be revealed. Nothing hid that shall not be known. Whatever you think you're getting away with is coming out. Well, if you read Matthew chapter 23, Jesus Christ just took all that clothing of their squeaky clean outer appearance off those Pharisees and dressed them down, as they used to say, and let you know what was really there. And it was awful. The people who followed them. They didn't know how bad those guys really were. For us, I would say this: if you don't want what you say repeated in public, don't say it in private. Because somebody knows, and eventually it's revealed. Turn to Matthew chapter 10. Jesus Christ applies the candle and candlestick, that light that comes from it, two ways when it concerns what you say. On the one hand, he says, beware, don't be a hypocrite. Because if you say it in private, it's coming out in public. And if those two things are not the same, everybody's going to catch on that you are not who you say you are. But at the same time, he says this: I'm going to tell you some things in private. And Jesus did. In Luke chapter 8, he told those disciples the meaning of the parable. And the rest of the crowd only got the parable. Do you know what? You got to read what Jesus Christ said to the disciples. He let you in on the secret. Jesus Christ had a discourse with his disciples in John chapter 13, 14, 15, 16. Prayed where they could hear him in 17. All of that was done in secret, just to those disciples. They've all been recorded in the words of God, and they've been proclaimed worldwide. You see? So he says here in Matthew chapter 10 and verse 26, fear them not therefore, for there is nothing covered that should not be revealed, and hid that shall not be known. That's the same thing he said in Luke chapter 12, but watch the application. One I tell you in darkness, that speak ye in light. And what you hear in the ear, that preach ye upon the housetops. And fear not them which kill the body, but are not able to kill the soul, but rather fear him which is able to destroy both soul and body in hell. Jesus Christ says, I'm going to tell you some things. You're learning them right here. And what I tell you, as he says from the words of God, I want you to go out there and I want you to proclaim it from the housetops. I want you to make it known with this caveat. When you do, there are going to be some people who don't want to hear it. And in the same way they treated me because of what I said, they're going to treat you because of what you say. And don't be afraid. Don't be afraid. Don't fear them. So in these illustrations of the candle and the candlestick, he's actually giving you three different things. And I wanted to study those contrasts a little bit today, well, for us to learn primarily, but also so that you wouldn't assume that he's saying the same thing each time, but you would broaden your understanding of the application. What's the review? What's the conclusion? The words of God are light right there. And they speak to you, and God wants you to take heed to them just the way that he said them. Be careful about running to a commentary right after you meet something that you don't understand. Get on your knees, rather, get with the Holy Spirit and let him tell you what he said. Because if you go to the commentator and he or she these days didn't understand it, then you're just not going to understand it worse. Believe the light of the words and receive more. And take heed to this, if you reject the light of the world, the words, God's going to take away even that you had. Jesus is the light, and he has lighted the world. When Jesus is here on this earth, there will be no need for candle because the Lord will give the light, Revelation 22:5. The Pharisees were dark but pretended to be light, and that was revealed. And he said to us, beware of being a Pharisee. Now, you're going to go home and study this out a little bit more, and you're going to find out that God said something about that light one more place in Matthew chapter 5. We're not going to go there. I just want you to know that's a reference to Israel, and their light was to bring glory to the Father. Well, I'm going to tell you the candle is not burning right now. Thank God, though, it will, and during that millennial reign of Jesus Christ, it will be the city set on a hill, and it will be plenty bright, where Gentiles all over this world can take the skirt of a Jew and go find God in Jerusalem. Praise the Lord for that. Father, thank you for showing us the truth of the words of God today. Help us now to do what you said, to take heed what we hear, to take heed what we see, and to take heed what we say. For you ask to do it in Jesus' name. Amen.